Why don't you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4. And let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless His Word. And I don't mean to put words in your mouth, Tim, but I suspect you're sensing the same thing I'm sensing, and that is that the Lord wants to do a lot in people's hearts tonight. Through His Word, through worship, but most importantly through His personal touch in our lives. And so let's pray that the Lord wouldn't find us putting up obstacles and barriers and all that stuff that we're good at doing to prevent that. Let's be open to the Lord tonight. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You so much for this evening, and I thank You for this time that we've had to worship You, to just kind of focus ourselves in this place tonight, to worship You in Your presence. Thank You for the time, and thank You for Your presence. Thank You for being here among us. Thank You that we are never far from You. Thank You, Lord. And I pray that tonight as we study Your Word, that You would change the way that we look at our life. Lord, we need our perspective changed so that it matches Yours, not just what we see. And so I ask tonight, Father, that You would do that in each one of our hearts. I pray, Father, that You would find good soil in each one of us, that the seeds of Your Word would be able to go in and grow and bear fruit in our lives. Father, have Your way with us this evening as we study Your Word. We ask this in Your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Has anyone here tonight ever had a problem with worry? Oh, you laugh. Maybe the better question would be, who here tonight has never had a problem with worry? Yeah, probably no one. Do you find it easy to worry? Don't we just kind of walk into that? I mean, it's like the most natural thing in the world that we all do. We see, with our eyes, we see our problems building up. They're just piling up, or we see situations that we can't fix. Or maybe situations we can't control. And usually in the midst of all of that, we see how weak we are. Maybe how ineffective we are at handling this stuff. Maybe in our best estimation of what we're seeing, it looks like the possibility of catastrophe is like right there. It's looming. And what do we do when we see all of that? We worry, don't we? We get anxious. And I'll be honest with you guys, given what we see with our eyes, we have every reason to worry, right? I mean, just based on what we see and the stuff we deal with and the things we go through, we have reason to worry. But one of the things that we learn as we walk with the Lord is that it's not all about what you see with your eyes. It's not all about what you can see and going on in your life, what you feel, what you're experiencing. Because there may be perspectives you don't have. There may be perspectives that you haven't acquired yet or that you haven't noticed. There may be realities and truths that we have forgotten in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our worry. Did you know that if a really dense fog, let's say it came to Colorado Springs, and it covered 7 full city blocks, and I use Colorado Springs because I'm not sure that Monument is a full 7 city blocks, but nonetheless, let's say this really dense fog came to Colorado Springs, covered 7 full city blocks, 100 feet deep. You guys ever been in a really bad fog? Okay? Let's just kind of picture that. Did you know that all of what the fog is composed of would fit in less than 1 drinking glass? In other words, if all of the fog covering 7 city blocks, 100 feet deep, were all put together in 1 drinking glass, it wouldn't quite fill it up. And I think that sometimes that can be compared to the things we worry about. It looks like this oppressive thing that could never be overcome, that we can't see through, we can't see past it. But if we could see the future, if we could see our problems in light, in their true light, as they really are, if we always remembered our Heavenly Father and His goodness and His love and His care, I think that we would often, if not always, realize that the things we worry about are really not what they appear to be. They're not all that we fear them to be. And I think that's especially true when we truly depend on God as both our comforter and as our protector, the one who protects us. However, since this is obviously something that we all deal with, how do we conquer it? How do we conquer worry? Is there a cure for worry? Well, we've spent several weeks now in Philippians 4. This chapter, which Paul began, if you want to read it there with me in verse 1. Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." Standing firm in the Lord is something that we have been commanded as believers to do. And following verse 1, as we've seen over a few weeks now, Paul has given us several very practical ways in which we stand firm in the Lord. Things that need to be true in our lives if we are going to stand firm. This evening, as we come to verses 6 and 7, Paul is going to give us yet another very practical, very powerful, maybe perhaps for most of us, a very familiar way that we can all stand firm in the Lord. Would you read verses 6 and 7 with me? "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How many of you know that those verses? Probably a lot of you have those ones memorized. You know, I remember a time when Deb and I, we were going through a long, well, the hard situations always feel long, but it was a long and very stressful situation financially. And we had spent the evening just talking about, maybe you guys can understand, you've been through something similar, and you're just sitting there talking about, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Essentially, what we were doing is we were worrying together, more or less. And after we obviously were tired of worrying, we decided we'd go to bed, and we got up. We're, well, where else are you going to go, right? And so we're walking down the hallway, and we stick our head in Kyla's door, my youngest daughter. And she's asleep. And we're just, you know, looking at her. And just, you know how kids sleep. I'm fairly sure none of us adults look like this when we sleep. But just, you know, the peace. You know, not a care in the world. Just quiet. And I thought to myself, I said, you know, wouldn't it be nice to be a kid again? You know, there we are in the middle of that evening where Deb and I are just kind of just really at wit's end and worried and frustrated and afraid. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be nice to be a child again and not have to worry about all that stuff that our parents always took care of when we were kids, you know? And as I walked out of there and finished walking down the hallway to our bedroom, a scripture that I had been reading that morning popped back in my head. Holy Spirit is good at doing that. It was Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. It says this: "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. And as that verse went through my head again, it dawned on me. I am a child. I am. In more ways than you might be thinking of. But I am a child. I am a child with someone who's looking out for me. I am a child of God. Are you a child of God? That's another phrase we use so often and we forget the meaning of it. And since we are children of God, God has told us, just as we probably would do with our own kids in a situation like that perhaps, He's told us to be anxious for nothing. To be anxious for nothing. And He's promised that He's going to care for us. He'll take care of it. Just like that child sleeping peacefully without a care in the world, we as believers can be at peace. We can be free from care, knowing that our Heavenly Father is watching over us. Yet how many times do we find ourselves, like Deb and I that night, worrying and fretting and being anxious as children of God? You know, I once read about a paratrooper. Guy made 70 drops into enemy territory. Never had a serious injury throughout that entire thing. When he got out of the military, when he was discharged, his first day back home, he walks in, trips on a rug, falls into a table, dislocates his hip, and breaks 4 ribs. And he said, you know what? For years, I have worried about every single parachute jump that I did. Worried that I would be hurt. Worried that I was not going to live through this. And then, I get home, and something I never worried, not one time about, reaches out and grabs me and hurts me. Tripped over a rug. We're like that, aren't we? We worry and we fret and we stew over things that sometimes, oftentimes, never happen. They never even take place. And guys, let me ask you, what does all that anxiety and worry do for you? You know, I mean, if you had to do the little list thing, you know, pros and cons, you know, of worry, you know, what is all that worry and anxiety doing for you? It doesn't eliminate all the sorrows of tomorrow, does it? It does empty us of the strength that we need today, though. It doesn't enable us to escape any of the evil that might be coming tomorrow. But it does make us unable to cope with it when it finally shows up. Have you ever been so worried by something that you felt paralyzed by fear? Yeah, most of you nodding your head. You ever been so worried or fretful that you found it difficult to concentrate? Or perhaps just things are so difficult that you can't even accomplish anything worthwhile. You can't even finish what you're doing. You can't even be productive. Have you ever been so worried that you failed to follow through on something good? Maybe things that God even called you to do? That's what worry does for us. That's the wonderful benefits of worry and anxiety. It robs us of precious opportunities to do what's right and to do what's good, to do what's helpful. And we get so gripped by worry that we end up being ineffective for the Lord. And instead of standing firm in the Lord, instead of being spiritually stable, we're filled with worry and we're wavering all over the place and we're ineffective and we're unstable. Guys, I want us all to notice the very first, those first 4 words there of verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. The Greek word translated anxious there literally means to be pulled in different directions. That fits, doesn't it? Right? I mean, we got our hopes, our dreams, our desires, they're pulling us in one direction. Our fears and worry are pulling us in the other direction. And what ends up happening? You're torn apart. That's what happens, you know? That's what happens when you're being pulled in two different directions. Did you know that the old English root of our word worry comes from the word that means to strangle? That fits pretty good too, I think. I mean, if you've ever really worried about something, you know exactly. It really does strangle a person. In fact, scientists have proven that worry has definite physical consequences in your life. You know, headaches, back pain, ulcers, neck pain, all kinds of stuff. Worry affects how we think. It affects our digestion. It even affects our coordination. Now, all of us at some time in our lives have experienced worry. Some of us maybe have spent a lot of time worrying. Maybe you just think you're a worrier by nature, right? That's just how I am. That's just how God made me, and I can't change those things. Well, I have good news for you this evening. There is a cure. There is a cure for worry. And it's found right here in our passage. Right here in these two verses. We do not have to be enslaved by our fears. Worry does not have to overwhelm us and keep us from being our best for God. There is freedom from worry for the believer. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Now, I mentioned this last week, and I think it bears repeating. When we hear Paul say those four words to us, we cannot turn and then say back to Paul, well, you know what, Paul? That's easy for you to say, but you don't face the same kind of trials that I'm going through. I think we all know why we can't say that. I mean, if anyone had cause for worry, it would be Paul. You know, he's writing those words as he's chained to a guard in a Roman dungeon. He faces an uncertain future. He could be facing death by beheading for all that he knows. And yet, he tells the Philippian believers to be anxious for nothing. Don't worry, is basically what Paul is saying. And guys, these words are not for the Philippian believers only. These words are God's word, and they apply to each one of us as believers. We are commanded here to not what? Worry. Right? Paul doesn't say, when the mood strikes you, if you're in, you know, if it's not too big of a deal, be anxious for nothing. It's a command. Be anxious for nothing. Did you guys realize that worry is a sin? There's a question that stops most of us Christians dead in our tracks. God has clearly commanded us in His Word not to worry, not to be anxious. So, when we worry, when we are anxious, we are violating God's command, are we not? Yes, yes, we are. And often, I think, as Christians, we make light of worry as though it's really not that big of a deal. We do it all the time with lots of things, right? We've got our grading system of sin. You know, worry maybe hasn't even made the list, but, you know, we go, well, I don't murder people, you know, I don't get abortions, I don't do this, you know, but we're not even dealing with the stuff we deal with on a daily basis. But often we make light of it, and according to Scripture, worry is a sin. Worry is not something that should characterize the life of a child of God. And guys, this is not the only place in Scripture where we're told not to worry. You know, I mean, listen to these words. These are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Luke 20 or 12:32, Jesus said, "Do not worry, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I think we can take heart in what we're told in 1 Peter 5:7. "Cast all your anxiety on Him." Why? Because He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. But hey, a little worry's okay, right? Just a little worry. I mean, if we don't worry a little, then that doesn't that mean we don't even care? Doesn't that mean we're just kind of flippant about everything and it doesn't even matter to us? No. We are not to worry. That's what God's Word says. We're not to worry at all. You know, we're not to worry about anything. Paul says, be anxious for what? Nothing. That means there should be nothing that brings anxiousness into your life. Not a single thing. Don't be worried about anything. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't care or that we shouldn't be concerned about things that are going on in our lives. I mean, we should care enough and be concerned enough to do what we can in those situations that potentially could be very worrisome for us. For example, let's say you got a deadline at work that can affect your employment, right? You should care enough to prepare. You should be doing your work. You should be, you know, concerned about your performance and doing it to the best of your ability. However, that you shouldn't then be sitting around and worrying about whether you're going to keep your job. You see. If you have a friend or maybe a relative, a loved one who isn't a believer, you should be concerned enough to share Christ with them. To be a good testimony around them. Well, all the time, but you know, a testimony in their life. You should be praying for them, but you shouldn't be overcome with worry about it. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, you know what? I do worry too much. I already know that. I do worry too much, and I want to be obedient in this area. I want to obey what Paul says. I want to stop worrying, but you know what? I've tried. I gave it a shot. And it seems like the more I try not to worry, the more I worry. How can I quit being such a worried person all the time? Well, as I said before, there is a cure for worry. Paul tells us very clearly here that instead of worrying, we need to be prayerful. Look at verse 6 again with me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Guys, Paul is telling us something here that is incredibly important for each one of us. He is telling us here that prayer is the replacement for worry. You're not going to magic worry right out of your life. You can wave a wand and poof, it's gone. It has to be replaced with something. And here we're being told that it's being replaced with prayer. If you do not want to worry and be anxious, then you need to pray. But hey, maybe Paul's saying that we're only to pray about the big things. And then we get to worry about the little stuff. Maybe God's just concerned about the big stuff and we handle the little stuff. Well, no, Paul is about as clear about prayer as he was about worry, right? Look what he says. In everything. Pretty inclusive word. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What are we to pray about, guys? Everything. Pray about the big things. Pray about the little things. Pray about the medium things. You know, pray about everything that's going on in your life. Everything that concerns you. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Do you see the comparison that Paul's making there? Despite how we sometimes treat it, prayer is vital in the life of a believer. And it amazes me, at least in this country and in the church as I know it, in my life, how quickly we set prayer aside. I'm busy, I got things to do, I got places to go. You know? I mean, life's really got to hit you hard before you fall to your knees sometimes and really seek the Lord about stuff. And that shouldn't be. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, He said, to pray and not lose heart. Pray and don't lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're told to pray without what? Ceasing. Notice some of these words that are being used here. I mean, these words are covering the whole gamut of everything that goes on in our lives. When you find yourself tempted to worry about whatever it is that's going on, get on your knees instead, is what Paul is saying. And if you're crossing the street, you may not want to get on your knees, but you understand what I'm saying. Go to the Lord. He's there. He's available. He's not far. Go to the Lord. Replace your worry with prayer to your Heavenly Father, of whom you are a child. And I think one of the reasons, perhaps, maybe why we don't replace worry with prayer is that, and again, maybe this is a particularly American issue for us as believers, but I think we often have fooled ourselves into thinking that we can handle stuff ourselves. Which really is a bizarre thing. I mean, if, when we just sit here and talk about it like this, we may look at that and go, yeah, it's just a weird thing in our life. Yet we do it. We look at a situation, some hardship, difficulty, whatever it is, and we immediately begin worrying and trying to figure out how to fix it, or how to get out of it, or how to run away from it. We begin to formulate all these things, and what we're doing is we're trying to control. We're trying to fix. And in that process, you know what we've done, I think? I think we have forgotten how desperately we need the Lord in everything. Jesus said in John 15:5, He said, apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
He didn't say, apart from me, you can't do any of the big things. He said, you can't do anything. You can't do anything without me. As a child of God, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, part of that family, you can't do anything without me. And guys, we need to accept that and we need to believe that. There's garbage in the church that basically is being taught that wars against that very truth. Nope, you can handle it yourself. Just say the right words, think the right thoughts, and you can fix anything. You know? Pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and get going. We just need to have better motivation. And Jesus says, you can't do anything without me. You need me. We need to accept that, and then this is what we do. As children of our Heavenly Father, we need to take all of those burdens. What are your burdens? Think about them. Don't tell me them. Just think about them. We need to take all of those burdens to our Heavenly Father and we lay them in His lap. Because guess what? And I don't know why this is true, but He wants them. He wants them. He does not want you to have them. He does not want you to bear them. So we lay them there and we leave them there. Don't worry about anything, Paul says. Pray about everything. And just in case we might have some questions about what that prayer is supposed to look like, what these prayers are supposed to be like, Paul gives us the key here in verse 6 in just two words. Do you see it there? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. This is not just a throw-in thing that Paul puts in to make the, you know, make the verse look nice. This is specific in regards to the prayers that he is telling us we should be replacing our worry with. With thanksgiving. They are to be offered up with thanksgiving. Guys, do not miss this. I know November is quite a ways away, Thanksgiving and all that kind of jazz. But this is supposed to be an everyday thing for us as believers. If you want to be free from worry, then you not only need to pray about everything, but you need to pray with thanksgiving. Do you guys know what that means? That doesn't just mean a few words that say, thank you, God. Whenever you read that sort of a phrase in the New Testament, with thanksgiving, just replace it with this: I am rehearsing God's goodness to me. That's all. That's what that means. That means you are remembering and thanking Him for all that He has done. Now, is there anyone here tonight who can truly say that God has never done anything for you? Anyone? Even if you just wanted to restrict your thanksgiving to the death of His Son on your behalf to cover your sins so that you might have a relationship with a holy God that's now and for all eternity, you would still never exhaust that thanksgiving. But we have so much in conjunction with all of that. You see, when we have grateful hearts, where are our eyes focused? On God. When we're worrying, where are our eyes focused? Ourselves, the stuff we're dealing with. It's all down here, isn't it? That muddled mess is what we're looking at. But when we're thanking the Lord, when we're praying with thanksgiving, we're looking at Him. We're looking in His face. We're laying our head on His chest. That's what we're doing at those moments. And we get our eyes off of our feeble, puny selves and our imagined ideas that we can fix anything or control anything, and we get our eyes on our mighty, powerful, sovereign, loving Father. Do you begin to see why this is not just a mental exercise? This is spiritual. This is supernatural. Did you realize that when you worry, you are not trusting God as you should? We have a tendency to think that, you know, when we're just not trusting God, it's when we don't do something that maybe He's asked us to do. But Scripture is fairly clear that when we worry, we are doubting our Heavenly Father who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. My mercies are new every morning. You know, a strong barometer of our faith and our trust in God is our level of worry. If we would categorize ourselves as worry warts, and maybe that's all of us, to, you know, in one way or another, that speaks towards our issues of faith. It speaks to our issues of trust. Now, is it easy to pray and to trust and to not worry? No. No, it's not easy. The fact that that very issue is repeated so many times in Scripture probably tells us how hard it is. We have to be reminded a lot. You know, it doesn't just show up once. It shows up over and over and over again. You know, Colossians 4:2, for instance, tells us, you know, it says this: continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Another command, teaching us the same things. Guys, there is a huge perspective shift that we are given in verses like these. You see, we're not to come to God in prayer as if we're just these you know, vagrant waifs that He's left penniless out on the street. We're not to come to God as though we're these starving prisoners, kind of reaching through the prison bars, wishing for a scrap of bread. It's not who we are. We are children of God. Are we not? We are. We're not to come to God as if we'd never received any blessing from Him ever before. And we're also not to come to God thinking that we shouldn't receive any blessings from Him now. I really wrestle with that one, because I know me. And in my opinion, everything's based on my performance, you know. If I'm not doing well that week, or I'm treating Deb bad, or the kids bad, or I'm just not doing what I'm supposed to do, God's certainly not going to, He's not going to take care of me now. Oh, well, where's that in the Bible? That's just the enemy whispering in my ear. We're not to come to God like that. On the contrary, having already received incredible blessings from our Heavenly Father, we remember those scriptures that we come to a God who abounds in loving kindness, right? Abounds. That word means never ends. His loving kindness, he never gets up one morning and says, look, I've given Tony as much rope as I'm going to give him. I no longer love him and I'm no longer going to be kind to him. That never happens for you either. He abounds in loving kindness. He wants to bestow good gifts on us, Scripture says. He wants to bestow good gifts on you. We have a God who waits to be gracious to us, Scripture says. That's the God you're praying to. That's the God you're giving thanks to. You see, thanksgiving is the right, appropriate spirit in which to come to God. Not, woe is me. Do you love me anymore? Can you help me? No, I know you won't. But that's not how we're to come to God. We're to come to God rejoicing in what He has already done, and expectation of what He is going to do for us in the future. That's how we're to come to Him. You know, I really do believe that if we have difficulty praying with thanksgiving, it is most likely, probably, because we need to understand and know God better. Or perhaps be reminded of things we already knew about Him. Because our thanksgiving is only based on the goodness of God and who He is. And if we're worrying, then I would suspect we've forgotten who He is. We've forgotten the God that we serve. And the more, I think, you get into God's Word, the more you experience His faithfulness in your life, the closer you get to Him, the more your heart is just going to naturally be filled with thanksgiving. And that means even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of difficulties. Again, the fact of the matter is, worry gives you nothing. Worry just robs us of the joy that the Lord wants us to have. Worry steals some of those gifts that He wants to give us. But when we get our eyes back on the Lord through prayer that's filled with thanksgiving, our worries begin to fade. Because we're not looking at them anymore. We're not consumed with them anymore. We're consumed with Him. We begin to understand that God is in control. And even in the middle of probably very real, troubling circumstances, He's told us that He is working it all out for our good. That's His promise to us. Paul is telling us here that when there is cause for alarm or worry in your life, pray with thanksgiving. No matter how bad your situation, God will come to your rescue. That's why Paul says this. And guys, I want you to look at the results of all of it. When you learn to stop worrying and we start praying about everything with thanksgiving, the results are amazing. Would you look at verse 7 with me? And, in other words, as a result of the previous, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you want to experience that kind of peace? I would say we all do. Well, when you replace worry with thankful prayer, God promises to graciously give you, as the first gift since you prayed, peace. Peace. And I want you to notice in this verse, guys, that this is not just any peace. Right? Not just any peace. Paul says here that God is going to give us peace that is beyond all understanding. It is beyond our comprehension. And that doesn't mean that we can't understand that God's giving us peace. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we're going, what is this that I'm experiencing? I don't know what this is. That's not what that means. What is being said here is that even in the midst of our most difficult and worrisome problems, where the most logical, the most understandable, and the most human, our most human response is to fear and to worry, even then, in that spot, God will give you peace that you should never have in that kind of a circumstance. That you have no reason to ever expect in that kind of a circumstance, He will give you that kind of peace. We will have a peace that we will never work up on our own. That we'll never try and create in ourselves or drum up in ourselves. God can give you an inner quality when all of those storms are just still whipping all around you and you can't see which way to go. God can give you peace in the middle of it. Guys, that is not understandable. That is beyond our comprehension. And that is something this world knows absolutely nothing about. That's why Jesus said, I have come to give you peace, but not as the world has. I'm giving you a different kind of peace. And I believe that's part of what Paul is talking about right here. When our mind is focused on God through thankful prayer, He will give you peace. Do I know how that works? No. I don't. I've experienced it. I've tasted it. But I don't understand it. All I do know is it's a promise. This is a promise of God's Word. There are no loopholes in this promise. There are no provisos in this promise apart from us setting aside the worry that does us no good anyway and coming to God and praying with thanksgiving. That's it. And God says, if you just come to me, I'm going to give you this peace. This reminds me of a beautiful promise that I think makes the whole thing so very clear. And most of you, I'm sure, are aware of this one. Isaiah 26:3. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." That's the same thing Paul's talking about, you see. Our mind, our eyes aren't elsewhere. They're focused on our Lord, our Heavenly Father, who gives us all good things anyway. And Paul goes on to tell us that this peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Did you see that there? I like that word, guard. It's a very specific word. It's intended to bring a picture to your mind. This kind of peace will act as a sentry, a guard, some big, burly, bouncer type thing that will protect your thoughts, protect your emotions, protect your heart. That's what's being said. This peace stands guard and it protects your thoughts from all anxiety and from all worry. Not some anxiety, not some worry, all of it. That's what this peace does. This is what is being offered. This is the promise of God. If we'll believe it and take it. My hope tonight is that we see what a huge perspective shift Paul is offering us here. My first tendency when things go bad is to worry. I may worry differently than you. You may worry differently than I do. We may worry about different things. But it's very natural for us to worry. But Paul is saying, I want you to look at things differently. Not the way your flesh does, not the natural way that your sinful flesh does. I want you to look at it differently. And because of this truth, because of this promise, as Christians, we do not have to be worried and fretful and uptight and downcast. Have you ever had the thought go through your head, I hate worrying, I don't want to worry, and if we would just get out of this situation, I wouldn't have to anymore. Right? If things would just get fixed, then I could stop worrying. Do you see how that wars with what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Be anxious for nothing. Go to your Heavenly Father. Thank Him for all that He has done. Seek His help in whatever it is that's concerning you. Throw yourself at His mercy. Focus your eyes on Him, and He will take care of it. And He'll give you peace to boot. Peace that you're not going to get any other way. If we are worried, guys, then honestly, I believe that Paul would probably tell us that we are simply choosing to stay there. Or perhaps we've forgotten we don't have to be there. And we need to be reminded. Because as we've seen tonight, there is a cure for worry that brings us peace. One thing, of course, we got to remember, especially when times are hard, when times are uncertain, is that real peace is not the absence of trouble, like we tend to think. Real peace, like we were singing about before, is the presence of God. That's what real peace is. Paul isn't saying that, you know, your trouble will magically vanish. You know, if you just say the right words and follow the right process. But if you want to experience God's peace, instead of being worried about your troubles, if you'd rather stand firm in the Lord at all times, if you'd rather see your life and your difficulty through God's eyes instead of your own, then pray about everything with thanksgiving for all that God has done in your life. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for this evening and thank You for this section of Scripture, Lord. Father, I would suspect, as I have done often this week, that there are probably many here tonight who are thinking, okay, I see God's Word, I see what it says. How do I do this? Father, maybe there are those here tonight who are overwhelmed with worry and fear. Father, often when You give us a command in Scripture, we feel too weak, too unable to even obey. But Father, I pray that You would bring us to a place where our heart says, I want to obey. I don't want to dismiss this issue in my life. I don't want to pretend that it's okay. I just want to obey. Lord, help me to obey. Father, we know You'll answer that prayer. Because that's Your heart's desire, as we've seen tonight. That's what You want for us as Your kids. Lord, just as we don't want our children to worry, we don't want our kids to worry about money or hardships or struggles and things. Lord, we want to protect them from those things. You're our Heavenly Father. You also want to help us. You want to protect us. You want to intercede for us. You want to give us peace, tranquility. And Lord, we sure want it. So I pray, Lord, for myself and for all of us here, Lord, that we would be very mindful of this issue of worry in our lives. Father, whether it's financial stuff, maybe it's physical health stuff, maybe it's relationship stuff, whatever it may be, Lord, You know. I pray, Lord, that You would, by Your Holy Spirit, bring these things back to our thoughts as we begin to step towards those things of worry in our life. And that, Lord, we would bow our knees. That we would look in Your face. And we would realize what a great Father we have. Lord, thank You for Your love and Your kindness. Thank You that You never leave us or forsake us. Thank You for all that You have done. And all that You will do for all of eternity, for each one of us, Your children. We love You, Father. And we thank You in Your Son's name.